for us. We're going to explore a little bit about what he has to say here about parables and about a parable in particular. We spend a long time in school. I remember even as a young child thinking about, going through 12 years of school, 12 plus, of education, and thinking, man, this is going to take forever. I'll never graduate. And then I'm sure you had the similar experience, many of us in here, where graduation day came and you graduated, and then you thought, wow, where did the time go? I can't believe my education's over here, at this school and in my younger years, and now I'm an adult. I have to be honest, when I was a younger child, I was not a good student. I was not a good student. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to have to learn spelling words. I didn't want to have to, read about history. I didn't want to have to do those things. I'd much rather have been outside playing basketball or football or fishing or who knows what else I could get into. That was not really what I wanted to do. And as a result, unfortunately, when I was younger, my grade suffered because of my lack of interest. I was not the best student I should. Now, hopefully, over the years, I've become a better student. And you know this already. You never stop learning. You never stop being educated, if you will, in life about all kinds of different things. Yet sometimes I'm still dumb. I do dumb things, and I wonder why. Yesterday, I got out in the hot sun working and moving dirt, and I got to the end of it, and I said, what did I accomplish other than having a migraine and not feeling very good? So I'm still learning how to be a good student of life, and more importantly, a good student of the Word of God. That's what I want to talk to you this morning about, briefly, is asking the question, am I a good student? You ever wonder that? You ever wonder if you're a good student of the Word of God? This morning we had wonderful opportunities to be in Bible classes. We have such good Bible class leaders, educators here. Thank you so much for the time you spend in preparing your lessons. It is greatly appreciated. But, as we sat there this morning, as we thought about what was being said, what we're being taught from the youngest of us all the way up to some of us that aren't so young anymore, am I a good student? Am I still a good student? We're not going to get very far if we're not very good students. And we're not going to continue to grow if I get to a point in my life where I say, well, I've learned enough, I'm okay. But being a child of the Word of God, being a student of the Word of God, we need to understand and know, and many of us do, that there's still so much to learn. And there's still in so many ways I need to grow. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is teaching a series of parables. And as you probably already know, Jesus taught a lot in parables. Parables are an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. You may have heard that definition before, but it's where Jesus takes something going on in the lives of the people he's teaching, and he takes that and he uses it in an illustration. When he's hanging out with fishermen, when he's calling his disciples, he uses the illustration of catching fish in a net. They knew what that was about. That was their life. And so he used that earthly illustration to teach them about being fishers of men. When he was out amongst farmers and he was watching them sow seed, he would use that illustration of farming to teach them some deeper truth. When he was with the Pharisees and Sadducees, he'd use things from their life that they understood all too well about being a leader to teach them about where they needed to grow. And so he would often use these parables. But his disciples, maybe like us, is wondering, why are you using these parables? We don't always get them. Why don't you just say it plainly? You know, sometimes we need to hear plain truth. And I bet you've had a moment in your life when your parents had to sit you down and talk plainly to you, or you've had a teacher have to talk plainly to you, or maybe even as an adult, an employer talk plainly to you because you needed to hear plain truth, because it wasn't getting in any other way. But sometimes these kind of illustrations can have a deeper impact for us because it's something we can relate to. You know, when a preacher gets up here and he's preaching, what do you like to hear? Good stories, right? Why do you want stories? You want something to relate to. You want the preacher, the teacher, to give you something that can help you, that can grab your attention, that can make you think deeper about these issues. And that's why preachers use a lot of stories and illustrations, good ones anyway, not like me, but really good ones, the ones we really like are really good with illustrations. And so Jesus uses a lot of illustrations. He's our master teacher, right? Master preacher, master evangelist. And so here, if you back up, I want to set the context of what's going on. Back up to verse number 3. Now, in verse number 3, Matthew tells us that Jesus told them, those listening to him, his disciples and the others who gathered, many things in parables. And so then he relates this parable of a sower who went out to sow seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path, a very hard packed ground, and birds came and devoured them. Verse 4. Verse 5, other seed fell on rocky soil or ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up. But since they had no depth of soil, but when, verse 6, the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Verse 7, other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seed fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has an ear, let him hear. So Jesus says there's this sower, and he's out there, and he's casting this seed out, and he's casting it out in a wide way. Now, that's not typically how we plant seed today. We take tillers or tractors, and we create real straight lines, straight as we can, and we take, and either we have a planter, or you get down on your hands and knees, and you begin to plant in those mounds, and you cover the seed up. That's not the way they did it. They had handfuls of seed, and they would basically out, you know, and you're just casting it out. Now, they might work the ground and stuff, but they understood what it meant to cast the seed out. And so that seed, because it's being cast out in kind of an indirect way, would fall on all kinds of different soil. And so he says, he gives a description of four types of soil. He says the hard-packed ground, that soil that's really hard. Think about roads. We like roads that are hard-packed, right? And if you maybe have a field somewhere and where you live, where people drive across dirt, what happens to dirt over time? You drive across it. It begins to get packed down, packed down, packed down. And it gets real hard. Vance was helping me yesterday dig some dirt. That was some hard-packed soil. And it kind of made the work a little bit more tedious, but I've had worse. But the harder it gets packed in, the harder it is to penetrate. And so he says some of that seed fell on that hard ground. He said others fell in rocky soil. Now, this was able to get a little bit in there, but the root, because of the rocky soil, wasn't really able to establish itself. And because of that, because it had no root system, when it rained, it wasn't getting the real nourishment that it needed. And when the sun came, it just dried it up. Other fell on thorny soil. Now, soil seems to be okay, but But there's all these weeds in there, and there's things with thorns in it. And all those thorny weeds are stealing all the nutrients from the plant, and so it doesn't grow as well. And of course, this is when we all would like to be, and maybe many of us think we're here. The other fell on good soil, that soil that you're trying to reach, that soil where the seed can get down in there, where it can establish a root system, where it can really draw from the nutrients of the soil around it, where it can pull the water in that it needs to grow and to be healthy. And so he gives this illustration in verses 10 through 17 is when they ask the question, why are you teaching in parables? Why are you doing this? And then he goes on to explain to them why. He says, verse 11, he says, because it's been given to you to know the secrets or the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, talking about the Pharisees and the others, but to them it has not been given. For to one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. It's like those birds coming along and stealing the seed off that hard-packed soil. Verse 14. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. You will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. And with their ears they can barely hear. And their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. These are a group of people who've become poor students. Men and women who have gotten to a place in their life when they no longer can learn. Because of what's going on in their lives, because of the condition of their heart, they no longer can achieve an understanding of God's will for them, of God's prophetic word. It no longer can penetrate their heart. And when it does, it's like that rocky soil. It has a little bit of root, but it doesn't last because they filled their lives with so many other things. Or it's like that thorny soil when they just have too many other concerns in their life, too many other things that are stealing their attention away that they just simply can't learn. You know, we all like to think we're good students. We all like to think we're good and strong Christians. We all like to think we're good Bible students, but I don't know that's always the case. Am I a good Bible student of the Word? We'll spend just a couple minutes talking about this from the perspective of what Jesus is trying to teach us in Matthew 13. What makes a good student of the Word of God? Number one, a good student of the Word has a heart ready to receive the Word. In 19, you have that individual, as Jesus explains, and he goes on to explain what the parable truly meant, verses 18 through 23. Jesus explains to us that, of course, the seed is the Word of God. The soil is our heart or mind, and our willingness and readiness to receive the Word. And of course, the sower is Jesus. In Matthew 19, he explains to us what these different types of soils are. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path, on that hard-packed soil. Do you feel hard, packed, down? Has life pressed you so hard that you've become a hard person? You know, I can't help but think about what happened to Pharaoh as God sent his 10 plagues on Pharaoh. And the text tells us that his heart became harder and harder so that he couldn't hear. We can all become like that. We can all get to a point in our lives where we just don't want to listen to anybody. We don't want to listen to the Word of God. We don't want to listen to another person, another Christian, another family member. I'm just tired of listening. And so words can't really penetrate. They don't really make a difference in our life. No matter how much people may care about me, I know what I know, and that's it. You know, one of the things that addicts, those who are dealing with addiction, have to deal with is the reality that they have to hit rock bottom before they can start to climb up. It's so sad, isn't it? When people all around them are trying to help them all along the way, and yet no matter what you say to them, it really makes no difference. And so they just progressively get worse and worse. They get more and more addicted to the bad thing, whatever that is, and whether that's some kind of drink or drug or sex or gambling or whatever the addiction is. You can fill it in. They all this kind of pattern is similar in all of those addictions. They just become unreachable at times. And so sometimes they have to hit that rock bottom before you can get into their heart and mind to get them to finally see where they are. And that's so sad. And I'll tell you what else is sad is when Christians become so addicted with themselves and their belief about something that they no longer can hear. Have individuals who become so enamored with a particular idea or false doctrine that no matter what you say to them, no matter how you reach out to them, they refuse to see anything different. Seeing people walk away from the church because they are so held on, they hold on so hard to these false ideas. Or if you sit down with someone who is of a denomination and you're trying to study the Word of God and yet they are so tied to that way of thinking, the way they've always thought, that they can't see things any different. And the Word of God fails to penetrate their heart. You know, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, you have a group of people there who are hearing the Word of Jesus for the first time, who are hearing about what Jesus, the Messiah, God in fleshly form, has done for them. And you have a vast array of people standing there listening to Peter and the other apostles. And you have groups of people there who've become hard-packed soil that the Word of God can't penetrate. And you have others there, the text tells us about 3,000, who, when they hear this, verse 37 tells us they were cut to the heart. They were so deeply affected by what's saying in the middle or as Peter's speaking. They cry out, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" They have hearts that have been softened by the Word of God. Are we still able to feel that way? Are we still able to, as they do in Acts 17, as the Bereans, who are noted as being more noble-minded by Luke? He says they were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. And he's not talking about Christians. He's talking about Jews who are hearing Paul and Silas preaching to them. He says, those in Berea were more noble-minded because they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. You know, sometimes when you're planting a garden, you got to do some tilling, don't you? You ever tried to plant soil in hard-packed earth? That's not going to happen, is it? So you have to go and you get out the tiller or you get out the tractor and you begin to plow. And you're trying to dig down deep to turn the soil over, to soften it up so that when you plant the seed, it's able to receive it. In Revelation 3 and verse 20, as Jesus is speaking to the Laodiceans, a group of people who have become very hard-packed, he says to them in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's standing there and he's knocking. But as you may have seen, some artists have tried to illustrate this, and you see Jesus standing there before the door. But not just any door. It's a door that has a knob on one side, on the inside. Jesus can't barge in the door. He can't turn the handle himself. We've got to open up the door for him to come in. If we want to understand what God's will for our lives is, if we want to continue to be a good Bible student, we've got to open up the door and allow it in. If I want to be a good Bible student of the Word of God, I must continue to challenge myself, even when it's difficult. Verses 20 and 21, he talks about the rocky ground. The ground that has these stones in it. These stones that have prevented the Word of God from taking root in their life. Is the Word of God taking root in your life? Or are you the same Christian you were the day you were baptized? You know, when we all obey the gospel, we're excited, we're energetic, we're ready to save the world. But we got a lot of learning and growing to do. And unfortunately, over time, Satan plays his trick on us. He makes us become more concerned about other things. We begin to neglect our own heart. We neglect our need for continuing to tend to the garden. You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, When God placed Adam and Eve in there, they weren't just free to do nothing. They were actually commanded to do something. And one of the things was to tend to the garden. Man's made to work, right? We've been made that way. And some of us work very hard. We work very hard in our jobs. We work very hard with our property. We work very hard with our children and our families. Hopefully you're working hard in those areas, especially with your family, with your spouse. But how much attention do we give to our spiritual well-being? How much attention do you give to going through and taking out those stones? You know, we have very rocky soil, and we planted a garden. We've tried a few times. We've not been very successful. I don't have a green thumb. I wish I did. But one of the things we noticed is that over time we've had to continue to go down and take out the rocks. And at times we've even had to replace the soil we have with different soil. Because it's so rocky, but we went through there, and I've got a pile of stones and rocks that I pulled out to throw over there. Maybe one day it'll be good soil. But it takes mending. It takes looking at the ground and noticing the health of it. And when there are rocks, when there are stumbling blocks in the way of good growth, those stones have to be removed. What's preventing you from growing as a child of God? What's preventing you from becoming a better child of God? Or are we like those in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7? He notes about some ladies there that are not as strong as a child of God as they should be. And he says they're always learning. They're always learning. They're there. They're attending worship. They're attending even Bible classes. They'll go to VBS. They'll go to gospel meetings. They're always learning, but never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. They've got too many other things in their lives that are distracting them. And let's be honest for a minute. If there are things in your life, if your job is preventing you from becoming a more faithful child of God, what should change in your life? I would hope you'd look for another job. Are there hobbies in your life that are preventing you from becoming the child of God you should be, from doing what God's called you to be? Change your hobbies. Are there stones that need to be tended to? Have we, as the Hebrews writer says in Hebrews 5:11, have we become dull of hearing? Are we still the same immature Christians? He goes on to say, those who are immature are those who are not able to receive the meat of the word. Are you always learning but never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth? You need to ask yourself why. In Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 2, and verse 15, Paul says to Timothy, study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God who needeth not to be ashamed. Are you ashamed of where you are as a child of God? If I am, then that tells me something, that maybe I've got some stones in my life that need to be pulled out. I've got some soil that needs to be tended to. A good student of the Word of God continues to challenge himself. He's ready to receive the Word, and he's devoted to Jesus Christ. In verse 22 of Matthew 13, he tells about the third soil. This is the soil where the seed got down in. It penetrated into the heart. But then after time, thorns began to arise in their life, and it choked the Word of God. As a child of God, one thing we understand pretty soon afterwards is the fact that Satan's not going to leave us alone. He's not going to stop trying to tear us down. He's going to continue to try to put roadblocks in our life. He's going to continue to do things to stop us from growing, from being successful in the kingdom. In 2 Timothy, again, in chapter 4, Paul writes to this young evangelist, and he warns him about something. He says in verse number 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, preach the word in season, I'm sorry, verse 2, preach the word in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke with all longsuffering. Why? Verse number 3, for time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Some translations will say they will tickle the ear and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. When tough things are talked about, when things that convict me are talked about, what do? Do I shut my mind off? Do I ignore what the Word of God is saying to me? You know, each of us has our own unique battle going on. What you struggle with may not be anything like what somebody else struggles with. What's common to all of us is we're all struggling and fighting. So know that. You're not the only one in this room today. You're in a room full of people who are struggling with sin. who are struggling with difficulties in life, know that. But sometimes the preacher gets up and he preaches the thing, or the Bible class teacher teaches on the thing that I'm not struggling with. You know what? That day I have no trouble, and I walk away feeling good about myself. But there are other times when the Word of God speaks to me, and it speaks to me. I mean, like, really speaks to me. What do I do in those moments? Do I ignore it? Do I act like, he doesn't know what he's talking about? No big deal. I can control that. In James 1:21, James writes, "Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness," that life of repentance. Notice James is writing to Christians. He's not writing to those who are coming out of sin and into the kingdom. He's saying, Christians, put away these sinful things and receive with meekness the implanted or engrafted word which is able to save your soul. That's when it gets hard, isn't it? When I'm challenged to make a change in my life, am I willing to make a change? In your marriage, if you're married, there are times that come up, things are going great, right? Hopefully today it's going great for you. There are other times when it's not so great, when it's a little bit harder, when there's challenges in the relationship, and you have to have a sit-down talk. Sometimes we try to run away from it. Sometimes we try to ignore it. But there are times when that relationship needs to be cultivated. And there are rocks can get into that relationship. There are thorns that can arise, difficulties. And those things need to be tended to. And you have to have an honest, frank conversation about those things. And when your spouse talks to you and you talk to her or him and you talk about those things, does it make a change in your life? If you want your marriage to improve, it better make a change. It better alter something about the way you behave and act. In Matthew 3:23, we all like to be here, right? We all want to be in verse 23, that good soil. Notice what he says about characterizes that good soil. This is the one who hears the word and understands it, knows what it's saying to me, can be honest in what it's saying to me, can look at your life, lay it up against the word of God, and can see where you need to improve. You understand it. You're willing to accept it. And then what? And indeed, he bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, another 60, and another 30. We're all in our own unique journey. We don't all come from the same place. We don't all deal with the same things. But are you yielding fruit, fruit of change in your life? Are you yielding fruit for the kingdom? Does God note a difference in who you are than you were yesterday, a week ago, a year ago, 10 years ago? Can God see a change? Because he's really the only one that matters. Can God see a change in you? Or are you the same person that you were then? James 1:22, and I'll end with this passage. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. If I only hear the word of God and it doesn't affect change for me, if it doesn't challenge me, then I'm just a hearer, I'm not a doer. He'll go on later to say that kind of faith is a dead faith. For anyone is a hearer of the word who and not a doer. For anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away at once and forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, the law of Christ, and perseveres, who makes changes, who's continuing to grow and to challenge himself or herself, but being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Are you a doer of the word? Are you a good Bible student? Are you continuing to hear the word of God? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Can it still penetrate your heart and your mind? Are you continuing to challenge yourself to be better today than you were yesterday? Are there things in your life that you need to take out? Is sin still challenging to you? Are you still battling sin? Or have you allowed the thorns to grow up and to choke out your faith? My prayer is that each and every person in here is tending to their soil, that can be noted as a person of good soil, that your heart is still ready to not only listen to the word of God, but to allow it to change, to make changes in your life. If you're not a child of God, we'd love to sit down and study with you about that. If you are still struggling to understand what God's will for your life is, let's take the time to read the Word of God, to see what God is saying about your need to obey the gospel, to repent of your sins, to confess Jesus as Lord, and to be immersed into Him for the forgiveness of your sins. If we can help you with that, we'd love to do that this morning. Maybe you're a child of God who's still struggling. Maybe you've realized this morning you're not where you should be, spiritually speaking. We'd love to help you with that as well. If we can help in any way, please come as together we stand and sing.